The Bible, and we have started in January. We'll start again, and we have a scripture reading schedule, and I encourage people, do the morning Bible reading, do the noon, do the night, sometime do it all at once. I don't care. Just go through it and get the benefit from it, and in order to do that, I have not only done it, but I've been preaching selected messages from the reading. Might be from the morning one, might be from the noon one, might be from the night one. How many of you were all the way into October are still reading through the Bible with us? Amen and amen. See, I encourage you to get involved in that. It will help you. And so tonight I have a message from the Psalms, and one of the Psalms that we read and was a blessing. And so I wrote this into a message. But anyway, I'm thinking tonight by way of introduction about a city called Philippi, and Paul and Silas had gone there to Philippi, and they were put in the inner hole of a prison, and they were put in stocks at midnight. They were put in the hole in the prison. They were put in stocks at midnight, right in there, after having been beaten within an inch of their life. Why? Because they were faithful to give the gospel in that city, and they were put in there. Now, many people in that situation would be licking their wounds, would be all discouraged, would be filled with doubts. But the Bible says in Acts 16, verse 25, how they responded. I'm talking about how these two men responded. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Amen? That's a good thing to do. We're going through midnights, and they prayed. And then the Bible says they sang praises unto God. And get this, they weren't doing it for the prisoners. They were doing it for the Lord. Amen? But the Bible says the prisoners heard them. Let me tell you, the world hears you when you gossip. The world hears you when you complain. The world hears you when you slander. But the world also can hear you when you're praising and thanking God. And it says that the prisoners heard them. And when they praised God, God did something. He caused there to be an earthquake. And when that earthquake happened, the foundations of the whole prison began to shake. And that wasn't the end of it. Guess what else happened? All the prison cells, the doors flew open. And that's not the end of it. The prisoners back then were chained. They were chained up. You know, oftentimes demonic influences, people are under chains because of the influences of devils. And they're chained up. Satan chains them, but then they have to be chained to be controlled. And sometimes they have supernatural strength, you know, from the demonic influence. And so they were chained and they were in prison, and God caused the earthquake, opened the doors, and then the chains literally fell off of these people. And you would think when the chains fell off that they would run out of the prison, right? And run for their lives. But guess what they did in Acts chapter 16? The Bible says that they didn't run out. The Bible says they went into the cell, the inner hold where Paul and Silas were. They ran right in there. Why did they go in there? Hey, they knew something real was happening. They knew that it happened because of these men. God did it, but he used these men. And they ran in there because they knew these men had the answer. And so they ran in there because they knew these men had the answer. And people are coming to our church because they see your life and they see what you're doing and they know you have the answer. And not only that, but guess what? The warden of the prison in Philippi took out a sword. And he was going to run himself through and kill himself and commit suicide. And Paul called from his cell and he said, hey, don't kill yourself. He said, everybody's here in my cell. Nobody has run away. Now, why would a guy kill himself if people run away? Well, the reason was because if in the Roman times you were a warden and your prisoners escaped, you would be killed. and you would not have a pension for your family. But if you died in the escape, your family, your wife and kids would be paid the pension. They would get the money. So he was going to kill himself so that his wife and kids would get the money. And that's why Paul stopped him. But not only that, he came in there, didn't kill himself. He came into the cell and he said something that you want to hear, like Matt talked about tonight from this lady when just knocking on doors, she was praying. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul gave the right answer. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And it's true for you tonight. If you know you're a sinner on your way to hell and you don't know how to be saved, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that died for our sins, was buried, rose again, God in the flesh, he'll save you. He won't turn you away. You can take it to the bank. He'll save you. And so tonight, in light of that, I want to preach a message called, "You should praise the Lord more and more." You should praise the Lord more and more. Psalm 103. And let me say three things about that. Number one, you should do it because of the examples of those who do it. You know, here in Psalm 103, if you look here at verse 1, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Now, who was David? David was the sweet psalmist of Israel. David was a singer. David was a songwriter. David was a praising person. He was a man after God's own heart. And David had his heart in tune with the Lord by praising the Lord. There are a lot of people, their hearts are not in tune with the Lord tonight. Even God's people are not always in tune with the Lord, are they? They're out of tune. And they're flat or they're sharp, but they're not in harmony with God. I want to tell you tonight, David is an example to you that he praised God with all of his heart. He wrote songs and sang praises unto God, and God loves it when you praise him. Now it says here, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me," notice this, "bless his holy name." That's important because it's the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. That's one of the names of God, the Lord. Now, that's important because the Lord is the God who made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with Isaac. He made a covenant with Jacob, whose name became Israel. And he said, "You're my chosen people, and from you is going to come the Messiah that will save the world." Amen. And these people in the Old Testament, they look forward to the Messiah. We look back to the Messiah. We know Israel rejected their Messiah, but God didn't reject them. He's not done with them. You see, the Lord means that God is faithful to his covenant. He's faithful to his promises. He's faithful to his people. He's faithful to his own self. And so we can praise the Lord for his loving kindness, for his faithfulness, and that's what David did. And he said, "Bless his holy name." Now, when you praise somebody and you praise them because of their name and you bless their name, when I say somebody's name, you think about that person. Your name represents your person. If I say Deacon Joe Slobodnik, you think about things about Deacon Joe, right? And I hope it's good things, because Deacon Joe, he represents good things. And so it is that when it says, "Bless his holy name." You know what the word "holy" means? There's nobody else like God. There's nobody else like the Lord. Nobody has the attributes of God. He's almighty. He's eternal. He is everywhere present. He is omniscient. That means he knows everything. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful and so forth. And so God is holy. And it says over and over again, holy, holy, holy. He's holy as the Father. He's holy as the Son. He's holy as the Spirit. He is the three in one. So if I say somebody's name, you think about that person. And so here is David that has a heart for God, and he is praising the Lord, and he's your example. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you praising God more and more? Or are you all caught up with yourself? Are you all caught up with Facebook, social media? Are you all into all of the social stuff? Listen, we need more people that are into God and into praising God. And more praising God and getting to know Him. You know the word worship. You know what worship means? Worship means worth-ship. God is worth it. He's invaluable. And when you realize that you have a relationship with somebody that's worth more than gold and silver, you know, gold, I was following gold when it was in the hundreds, then it went up to the thousand, then it went up to 2,000, then it went up to 3,000, now it's $4,000 an ounce. But that's nothing compared to God. You need to praise God because He is worth it. And let me say something else. I remember going through a hard time. I was over at Steve and Patty's house, and they had a tape, and they played a message for me by Dr. Jack Hiles. And the message was about the psalmist saying that he offered a sacrifice of praise. And you know what that means, a sacrifice of praise? That means you praise God when nothing's going good. You praise God when it's sacrifice to praise Him, because everything seems to be going against you. You praise God. Remember Job? Job praised God. He praised God. And I said it this morning. And a man came up to me that came here from Lake Wall and Pawpeck. He's been coming. I guess his wife told me that they come from a church in Staten Island. That their church planted a church in that area. And they're doing things like that. They're planting churches. And I thought that's pretty cool. And I guess their pastor's in the hospital. He's got a lot of sickness. And they came out last week. They came out again this week. And the man came up to me. What's his name? There's the wife is Debbie. And what's his name? George. That's what I thought. I want to be sure. And George came up to me, and a godly man. And he said, I appreciate what you shared about Job. You know, he said, you know, that is what we need. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you know, when I was going through that hard time after listening to that message by Brother Hiles, Patty had sent me a song. Patty had sent me a song. And it was about praise God. And when you praise God, the chains, and I had chains around me, the chains that seek to bind you serve only to remind you. They drop powerless behind you when you praise the Lord. And so I got a hold of that. And you know, there's a verse in the Psalms that says that God inhabiteth the praise of His people. Do you want God to show up in your life like Paul and Silas here at midnight? Do you want God to show up in our church? Do you want God to show up in your family? Then start praising God for who He is, and let it come from the heart, but express it with your lips. It's the priestly offering to God, a sacrifice of praise, even when you're going through hard time. I talk to people, they're going through hard time. They think they're going through a hard time because their football team loses. They think they're going through a hard time because their baseball team loses. Man, bunch of baby Christians sucking on their thumbs. And they literally curse God when that happens. They curse Him. Now they get angry and they use bad words. Right, Sarge? Not Sarge. He praises God now. He's learned it. When he was younger. But he's learned it. And tonight, I want to challenge you to praise God more and more because of the examples of those who do it. And then I want to share a second point from this psalm. That was verse 1, verse 2 through 5. Praise God because of the benefits that he gives you. Benefits that he gives you. You know, I don't know about you, but I tend to forget the good things that God does for me, especially when I'm going through a problem. And I tend to forget. And by the way, I tend to forget all the things that people do for me. And sometimes a person is rubbing me the wrong way. And I'm ready to say, man, they're rubbing me the wrong way. But you know what? I just think how many things they did right for me. They're not perfect. They mess up. So do I. But how many things do they do good for me? And do I forget that when they do something wrong? You shouldn't do that. When your wife does something wrong, man, don't forget all the good she's done. Ladies, when your husband does something wrong, don't forget all the good he's done. Takes out the trash, whatever. I'm saying we forget his benefits. And that is why we fail to praise him, but we should praise him for his benefits. And look what it says here in verse 2 of Psalm 103. He says here, and forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, that means praise him, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What a blessing it is. And you know what pride is? Pride is forgetting all that God has done for you and all that he's used others to do in your life. In other words, it's taking credit for what God's doing in your life and what he's using others to do in your life, and you take credit for it. You know, I think about my first secretary, Mrs. Wolf. When she became secretary, I was a young pastor, and I was still going through studying for a master's degree in college. And I remember I needed somebody to type my papers for me. And Miss Wolf worked in the ministry here, and she did it gratis because she was getting money, support money. She said, Pastor, I don't want to take money from the government free. I want to donate my work to God. And we, at that time, we were pretty poor, so we did that. But I said, hey, could you type my papers? I'll pay you to type my papers. And she said, sure, I'll do it. And she typed all of my papers that helped me get my master's degree. And I got a good grades and a master's. But Miss Wolf helped me. Forget not all his benefits. God raised that up, and what a blessing it is. I think of my mother, and I got to get out to Michigan, check on my mom for a couple days. My daughter is out there, and she gave up her job, and she has been helping me with my mother, because I want to honor my mother and take care of my mother right now. 95 years old, and thank God for my daughter and how faithful that she is. I mean, think about all that God has done. I thank God for many of you in the church and how you are part of a team that serves God. And we can thank God for the benefits of this team. Praise God more and more. And praise God for the people that are used in your life. And don't be afraid. I'm not talking about flattery. I'm talking about praise. I'm talking about thankfulness for the people that God has put in your life. I'm thinking about the New Year's dinner that we're going to have. And Sarge is going to serve it. And you ladies don't have to serve dinner. He's going to take care of it. Amen. And it's going to be good. I know he's already preparing for it. And thank God for it. I mentioned a sandwich my wife made for me this morning. It was delicious. How many meals? How many things has she done? I'm just saying, praise the Lord. Don't forget his benefits. And don't be like those people that God keeps doing more and more and you praise him less and less. No, you praise him more and more and forget not all his benefits. And not only that, but he benefits you in specific ways. He benefits you by what it says in Psalm 103, and look with me at verse number 3, the first part, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Hey, think about that tonight. Who forgiveth how many of your iniquities? All. How many sins will you commit in your life against God? Now, the Bible says this, if the Lord should mark iniquities, who could stand? If he marked up your sin against you and gave you what your sin deserves, what would happen to you? You know what would happen. You'd be in hell forever and ever, suffering agony. And so you need to praise the Lord that he saved you. By the way, did God need to save any sinner? Is he required? No, in fact, his justice requires that your sin be punished. He didn't have to save you. You don't have to be on your way to heaven. So what are you talking about? You know, we're sons of God when we get saved. But, you know, Lucifer was a son of God without a belly button. And so were all of the sons of God. And they sinned. They sinned against God. Did he provide salvation for one fallen son of God in that realm? Not one. But he provided a savior for the world. And even that, the reason why you're saved, the Bible says, is God chose you to get saved. You know, I was out the other night visiting, and there's this girl that I've talked to before, and her dad's like a hyper-Calvinist, which means that he believes that nobody can know if they're elect of God. And she said, you can't know that you're saved. You don't know if God chose you. And I said, absolutely, I know God chose me. Because everybody that believes on Jesus Christ as their Savior, they did it because God chose them and drew them to Christ. I said, you can know it. I said, well, who do you think? God chose me to be here tonight. God chose me to give you this. God chose to put these promises in the Word of God. And if he lies, then he's a liar. I said, put your faith in Jesus. Don't you worry about who chose who. You just do what God said. Then you'll know you're chosen of God. That's all you got to worry about. But now that I am saved, I think about, wow, what if you didn't choose me? God, I owe it all to you. I owe my faith to you. I owe it all to you. I can't brag and say, oh, praise be to Randy Bloom. When he heard the gospel, he had recognition. And no, it's God. And because of that, all of my sins were charged to God's account, to Jesus Christ's account. He paid for them, and now the perfect life he lived is charged to my account, and I am accepted in his sight as perfect. What a benefit that is. How often do you praise him for that? That you're on your way to heaven? Or are you thinking about all your problems all the time? Praise him for the benefit of healing your diseases. Look at 103, verse 3, the second part, who healeth all, notice that, all thy diseases. I remember when I was a kid, my grandpa Bloom, my dad's dad, he loved the Lord. He read his Bible. He was a godly man. He was born in Holland. He came over here. He was a godly man. And I remember him telling me, I wasn't even saved, I was a young boy, but I never forgot, he told me, he said, so many times I've been sick and I've asked the Lord to heal me, and he's healed me of things. He's done it different ways, but he's healed me of things. And that stuck out to me. Wow, that's pretty good, you know. And then my grandpa, I don't know, he was in his 80s, maybe 86. He was in a home at the time, you know, to take care of him. And he all of a sudden had a, what do you call that thing? It was an artery in his head broke. Aneurysm, thank you. Aneurysm, it broke. And the nurse was there in the home, and his name was Henry. And he goes, "Am I dying?" to the nurse. "Am I dying?" And she said, "Henry, that wouldn't be so bad, would it?" And he said, "No, it wouldn't." And he died. Now, my grandpa died and was buried, but I'll see him again with a young body, the body that won't get old, that won't get sick. What a blessing that is. It says, by Christ's stripes we're healed. The only way you could have that kind of ultimate healing is if Jesus was willing to let his body be beat by that cat of nine tails, and they had the little bits of glass and stone on the end, and the lictor drew it back, and it pulled up his skin and pulled up his muscle. You could see right down to the bone. I mean, he bled so you could be healed. God did that. Do we praise him for it? I'm saying praise God for his benefit of forgiveness of all your sins, of healing all your diseases. And then it says you can praise him for redeeming your life from destruction. Look at verse 4. The first part says, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." You know what? I don't know where I would be. If I wouldn't have gotten saved, I don't know where I'd be. But I know this, I would have killed myself. Not literally killed, but by the way I live, I would have been dead. I would have been dead, amen? And many of you would have been dead if God didn't save you. And I think about Israel. They were in Egypt. They were under bondage. They were under slavery. God sent Moses, and he got them out of there, got them out of slavery, and delivered them from Egypt, and brought them out by power, and brought them out by the blood of a Passover lamb that he killed the Egyptians. Man, you're redeemed in a greater way than Israel was. They were redeemed physically. You're redeemed from Satan's power. You're redeemed from living a selfish, sinful life under the dominion of sin and death. And now you're alive. And do you praise him for that? I got to be honest with you, I do praise him for that. I praise him every day. I walk and talk to him. I praise God for what he has done for me. And I don't want to forget that benefit of forgiving all my sin, healing all my diseases, and delivering me from a life of destruction. Thank God for that. And not only that, but he benefits you by the truth that he does something great to crown you with. Look at verse 4, the last part says, "Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Notice that's in the plural. By the way, do you know the mercies of the Lord are new every what? Morning. Day after day. Do you praise him every day for getting you out of bed? Do you praise him you could come to church tonight? I'm just saying he benefits you by crowning you. You know, when I think of crowning you with mercies and loving kindness, I think of him being crowned with a crown of thorns. Here he is, the King of the Jews. Here he is, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the King of the universe. And what do? They take about 3-4 inch thorns, make it into a wreath of thorns, a crown, and put it in his head. They take a reed and beat it into his head till the blood runs down. Pilate was so pitiful of him, he said, "Behold the man. Behold the man, the poor thing." He didn't know he was the king of the universe. He just saw him as a poor, pitiful man. And he said, "Let the guy go. Don't crucify him. He hasn't done anything to deserve this." No, he didn't. But you know why he did it? Read Revelation 1. "To make you a king and a priest unto God." The Roman Catholic priest and the Pope, they're charlatans. They're usurping the priesthood of Jesus Christ. But he makes you a priest so that you can pray for people and pray down blessings, so that you can go to people on behalf of God and give them the forgiveness of sins through the gospel? He said, I give you that power to forgive sin, not intrinsically, but through the gospel. I'm just saying he's made you a priest, but not just a priest. He's made you a king. You can rule over your sin. Didn't he tell Cain that? Sin wants to get you, but you can rule over it. You need to rule over it. Through Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, he breaks the power of sin. So you don't have to give in to sin because you're in Christ. You sin against his love and grace when you sin. You don't have to. You're not a slave anymore. He's made you a king, and you will reign with him. And he wore the crown of thorns so that you could wear a crown. Doesn't the Bible say at the judgment seat of Christ he's going to give us crowns? And I believe that's light in our glorified body that talks about the blessings to reign with him in the world to come. All these things are real, beloved. It's important you recognize that benefit, that not only redeeming you from hell, not only forgiving your sins and healing your diseases, but crowning you as a king to rule with him in his kingdom. Shouldn't you praise God for these things? He benefits you also by what he does in verse 5. Please look with me at verse 5. It says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You know what? He satisfies our mouth with good things. I know at different times, and he's blessed me with good food to eat. Amen? And healthy food to eat. He helps me to eat. I've had different eating programs he's led me into, but they're all healthy. When he's leading, he teaches me to buffet my body, not buffet it. Some people, they buffet their body all the time, and that's not good. But I'm going to have a buffet tomorrow, but I don't buffet it every day. I'm just saying that God satisfies your mouth with good things. My oldest daughter was up, and when I go down there to Florida, she makes me fresh bread, and I get to eat it every day when I'm down there. You've never tasted bread unless you've had it milled fresh by a miller, and you have to do it in the house because they don't have that kind of bread right now available to you. And my daughter said, you know, the bread that we have is from the grain of the wheat, and it's made up of three things. One is bran, the other is wheat germ, and the other is gluten. Those are the three parts. You know why people have all the gluten problems today? They wanted to make money, and so they ground the bread, and they ground the gluten off of it, and they made that into bread, and they put preservatives in it so they could keep it for weeks in the grocery store. But you're not getting bread. You're getting fake bread, and it's just the gluten. Then people started dying when they did that, because when they broke the bran off and the wheat germ, especially the wheat germ had all kind of vitamins in it. So they started putting the vitamins back into it so they could keep selling it and ripping people off, and too many people wouldn't die. And that worked to a degree, but not like the real stuff. And she said, you know, that's the wheat germ, all that that good vitamins and minerals in the germ that gets broken off, and we don't even get that. And they would sell the wheat germ to somebody else. And then she said the bran is another one. And she said the bran is what keeps you from getting colon cancer. It's what is fiber. And what a wonderful thing. That's why the Bible says, listen, give us this day our daily bread, because bread will not last more than 3 days. She said, it's like the manna. My daughter said, it's like the manna. And she said, it's like breaking up the Trinity. There's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and they break off the one, and it's like trying to divide God up. No, that's not the way it's meant to be. And my daughter out in Michigan, she sold, so she's getting a mill. She bought a mill, and my wife bought a bread making machine, which makes it easier, and it is so delicious, and it tastes so good, and it's filling. And I'm just saying, it's such a blessing. And I think about that, and it says, I'll read it again. He says, he satisfieth your mouth with good things, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. So what? That thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Not the Philadelphia Eagles. Bobby shot, his head shot right up there. No, I'm just saying that that it's healthy. And I told my daughter, I said, you know what? I said, you need to understand, that's why I got the King James Bible. It's the real word of God. And it satisfies me. And it blesses me. Do you make use of that Bible every day? Thank God for those of you that do. And you should praise God that he gives you that kind of nourishment physically and spiritually. And you should praise God more and more because of the examples that we've been talking about of people that do it and God shows up for them, and because of the benefits that he gives you. And I'm almost out of time, but the rest of the psalm from verse 6 through 22 says, because of all the great things that he does. You know, how does God do it? How does God do it? How does he treat you like an only son or daughter when he's running the entire universe? But he does. And he says, you know what? You need to praise me for that. And look at just some things. I'll just look at a few things, great things that God does that you can praise him for. I'm not going to go through them all, but look at verse 6. It says, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. Certainly Israel was oppressed in Egypt, weren't they? And Pharaoh was putting them under the lash, and the Lord executed judgment upon Pharaoh. And he delivered the Israelites out from Pharaoh. What did he do to Pharaoh and his whole army? He drowned them in the Red Sea. But he brought his people out. Isn't that God executing judgment? Yeah, God executes judgment. I don't know about you, but I was glad when Letitia James got indicted. I don't hate her. I pray for her. But God executed judgment. Now they're saying, oh, Trump's persecuting his enemies. Hey, you're living in a glass house. That's what you did. You ran on that. Did you not break the law? And aren't you? No, God is executing judgment. I was glad for that. I was glad when the former FBI director, James Comey, got arrested and got indicted. And I've told you for years, it's coming. This is just the beginning. Why? Because God is a God of justice. God is a God of judgment. And we prayed for that. And how about praising God for what he does? You know, people are getting blessed in this country by these things, and they don't even praise God for it. They criticize this and they criticize that. Don't forget to praise God. Before you ask God for more, thank him and praise him for what he's done in your life. I'm saying we need to praise God more and more. And not only does God do what's right when evil people are ruling with cruelty, but God lets you know him as your personal, loving Heavenly Father with his grace and mercy. Think about that. God lets you know him. You know, when I preached up in Tunkhannock, the lady that introduced me, she said, wow, this is a guy, this is the pastor. And he got to pray for the Trump rally, and he met with Donald Trump, and we all feel like we're living through him. You know what? I get to do a lot more than that. I know the living God. that runs the entire universe, and he's my dad. And you too. You too. I'm no different than you. But that is something to praise God for. And so look with me at verse 7 of Psalm 103. It says there, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Do you see that? The children of Israel, they're God's chosen people, but they didn't really know God. Most of them didn't have a personal relationship to God. They didn't know how God did things. They didn't know God personally. They didn't know his ways. But Moses did. God made himself known to Moses. Do you know God? You say, what's that? That's what life eternal is, to know God and to know his son. If you know God and you know his son in a personal way, so you actually understand how he's dealing, then you know God. But the children of Israel, they only knew when they got into trouble to complain, and then God would do a miracle. And so they saw that, but they didn't know God. They just saw the great things that he did. That's not what we're talking about here, that it's something to praise him for if he makes himself known to you so that you know God. And if you know God, listen, you know his grace in your life. Here's another thing he does in the universe. It says in verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Do you know his grace in your life? He's both gracious and merciful. What's grace? Grace is the power to do what you ought to do. He gives you that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and he joins himself to you, and now he gives you, listen, the power and the desire to do what you ought. It's grace is not the freedom to do whatever I want. Oh, I could do whatever I want. Like this same girl I talked to, her father's gone off the deep end. Now he says he is saved and he's going to heaven, so he does whatever he wants. She said he does all these bad, terrible things, sinful things. I said, the guy's messed up. I said, I know the guy. I gave his name to her. You know, I know your dad. He's messed up. He doesn't have it right. No, grace doesn't just forgive your sin. It does that. We talked about that. But grace gives you the power to live a life that's different than the world, that is not controlled by domination of sin. It frees you up to do what you ought to do. It doesn't give you the freedom to do whatever you feel like doing. And so thank God for his grace in your life. Thank God for his mercy in your life. What's mercy? You do mess up, don't you? You do sin, don't you? And when you do, you can be cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ by just simply confessing and agreeing with God that what I did was sin. Are you benefiting from that? Are you praising him for these blessings of grace and mercy? And it could go on and on and on all through this psalm, things that you can praise God for. Perhaps you should look it up yourself and count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count the many things that God done. It'll surprise you, all the stuff that God does. And instead of being all caught up with yourself, so many believers, they're caught up with themselves. And I understand it. We all love ourselves. You don't have to be taught to love yourself. We all love ourselves. And we feel it when we got an ache or a pain or a problem. But this helps us to get above that. This helps us to fly above the clouds like Brother Hiles did and praise him. I hope that you'll do that more and more this week, because you should praise the Lord more and more because of the examples of people that have done that and are doing that, because of the benefits that He gives you personally as a child of God, and then because of the great things that He does in this universe. Great things, wonderful things. He is so good. Praise His name. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I just want to ask you a very simple question tonight.